You might have noticed that most of my weekly 50 photos are close-ups of nature, or they've got just a single subject. That's because it's difficult to do large-scale photographs with a 50mm lens on a crop sensor camera like my D200 or my D7100. Most consumer-level DSLRs are crop sensor, meaning the actual image sensor is a little smaller than a 35mm piece of film. Yes, film from back in the days of film photography. You can buy a full-frame camera like a D610 or a D800 or a Canon 5D Mark III that have a much bigger image sensor, and there's certainly some advantages to that, but you can still get great photos with a crop sensor. I'm getting off topic though. In this photo, what I'm illustrating is how you don't really get the same type of picture from a 50mm lens on a crop sensor camera versus something much wider like maybe an iPhone. A bit of a explanation here. So they're demolishing this building on campus called Hanner Hall. They're going to make way for a brand new business school building. And Hanner Hall was originally built as a dorm, I think, in the 20s or 30s. And they decide to tear it down, which is really cool for pictures. I wanted to get some pictures of the demolition process, though. So I took my D200 and my iPhone 5. Guess which camera got better photos? The iPhone! To get a bit technical here, the iPhone 5 has a focal length of 4.28 millimeters. That sounds like a really wide angle focal length. So why is the angle of view not super crazy wide? Well, because the sensor in the iPhone is so small that you have to do some math to get at the 35 millimeter equivalent focal length. What this all means is if we use a full-frame camera as a reference point or a old film camera as a reference point, the iPhone would have a focal length equivalent of about 31 millimeters. A 50mm lens on a crop sensor camera like mine is about 75 millimeters, which is much narrower than an iPhone. So even though the iPhone has such a tiny little sensor with a tiny little lens and a super short focal length, it has a much wider angle of view, as anyone who uses an iPhone knows, than a DSLR with something like a 50mm lens. That can be a good thing. That can be a bad thing. It all depends on the type of photos you want to take. In this example, it's just a different thing. And I was able to stand here. When I took this photo, I was standing across the street. So maybe, I don't know, 100 feet away from the actual excavator shovel that you can see. And I could see in my iPhone, I could see the whole building, like the whole thing. Whereas on my D200, I could only see this tiny little slice. And so I would have had to back up like a block away to get a picture of the whole building with my 50mm lens. It's not practical to do that kind of thing with this type of camera and lens setup. And that's where an iPhone can really be awesome. And I'll get to a larger point about that in a little bit. But my challenge here when I was standing here taking this picture was, what do I do with the equipment I have? I have to shoot something at 50 millimeters because that's my limitation. So how do I make the most out of this limitation? Every photographer has that same dilemma. No matter what, we all have limitations based on our equipment and our lighting and our subjects, and how do we make the most out of what we have? Well, my brother Tom said something to me once. He said he's learning photography, and he said he's starting to take fewer snapshots and more photos. I thought that was kind of interesting. What he means is he's being more deliberate about what he is taking a picture of. And instead of just seeing something cool, clicking a shutter and calling it a day, he's thinking more about composition, about framing, about where the light's coming from, what kind of message he wants to send to his viewers. Sure, he still takes plenty of snapshots, and that's fine. But he's also learning how to control his camera more to help the viewer feel what he felt when he saw whatever it was he was looking at. That's what I wanted to do here. I wanted to get a shot that encapsulated what I felt while I was watching this building come down. I wanted to take a photo, not just a snapshot. And again, there's nothing wrong with snapshots. It all depends on what you want to do as a photographer. So I wanted to take a photo with a deliberate sense of framing and composition and really get a sense of what I felt as I was standing there watching this thing come down. Seeing everything super wide angle with the iPhone was good, but it felt like a documentary. It didn't really have the emotional impact that I was looking for. With my 50mm lens, though, I tried to capture the power of this thing, of this excavator. And even though you don't see the building and you don't get a sense of context, of place, you don't see what's around it and the construction workers and the fence and everything else, what you get instead is this more intimate, hopefully emotional view of this thing coming apart. You see these bricks, and you can see there's a brick right near some of the teeth on the excavator, and you can see the little holes in the brick, the three holes in the middle of it. You can see the dust and the debris falling down as this thing is scraping bricks off the side. You can see this empty air conditioner frame in the window. You can see the windows that are decaying. You can see the metal rebar and wire sticking off on the left-hand side. They look like this thing has just been gutted. And you see all these little cracks in between the bricks, and this one window has some panes that are falling out. And you see all these little things that you can't see that if you look at the iPhone photo. You see the whole, you see the macro view, but you don't get this intimate personal view. And that's what I wanted to do when I took this picture. And so that was my challenge. How do I work within the limitations of my equipment to take the picture that I was really hoping to take and to really help the viewer feel what I was feeling. I hope it worked. I don't know if it did. But the takeaway here, as I was walking back away from this after I was done taking some photos, is no camera, and I was thinking about this, no camera is objectively better. Cameras are just different. You can't tell me that a Nikon D4S or a Canon 1DX is better than an iPhone. It's different, and it's better if you look on paper at the specs and what it can do. Sure, you could say it's better, but the trade-off is it's not very portable. You can't stick it in your pocket like an iPhone. And so photography is all about these trade-offs, and no camera is objectively better. Don't let anyone ever tell you that your camera is not good enough. It's all about what works for you as a photographer. All cameras have strengths and weaknesses, and if you have a cheap point-and-shoot camera, you are no more or less a photographer than someone with a $5,000 Canon or Nikon or even a medium format Phase 1 or Hasselblad. It doesn't matter. It's whatever works for you to accomplish your goals as a photographer. Tom, my brother, who I mentioned before, he's got a Canon point-and-shoot with some manual controls, and he takes some amazing photos with it. So keep up the good work, Tom. All of you who are shooting with iPhones or with little pocket cameras, keep up the good work, everybody. Just keep shooting with what you have. What matters is what you are trying to convey in the photos that you're taking and how you can use the equipment and the limitations you're working with to get that across to your viewers.